Continuing on in the series that started a long time ago, talking about adding to your faith and being productive in our faith. The last time we started looking at prayer, we're going to continue doing precisely that. The last time we spoke about the need to pray and the idea that prayer is work. It's not always easy, and we don't always feel like it, but it's something that God has called us to do, and so we do. To be effective in prayer, we need to be praying in the Spirit. We need to be in close contact with the Holy Spirit and listening what the Father's saying, or what does God want us to be praying about, what's important. From different perspectives, you can say different things are important, but God has the ultimate perspective and so really knows what is important. We talked last time about being filled with the Holy Spirit and developing in the Holy Spirit, developing a sensitivity to what he was saying, how he was leading. If we do that, then we waste less time in prayer. And we're more effective in working with God. I well remember one particular time I was praying about an issue. And I was praying along this particular line. And, you know, it was really important. I was praying. And then over time, my prayer gradually changed direction. And, I mean, over about 4 weeks or so, in pointing in one particular direction, it almost turned round 180 degrees. And when I arrived at that point, I then felt God say to me, the answer's coming next week, and it did. But I was praying the wrong thing. I was praying from my eyes, how I saw it, what I thought was the right way for it to be resolved, and God, like the good parent, was sat there waiting for me, speaking to me, and gradually I came around to understand the right way. We've done that with our children. Children will ask for whatever they want. And it's not always right. Good parents will not give them bad things. And God doesn't give us bad things. And we need to line up with God and be productive in our prayer. What I'd like to do over the next few times is look at different aspects of prayer. And you may remember when I started talking about prayer, I said, you know, one of the real choices I had to make when we were going along here was, did I start with prayer or did I start with worship? Because they're both very important things. And I said, well, ultimately, because I couldn't really justify one or the other, I just picked prayer and we'll go there. Funnily enough, the first thing that we're looking at, we're specialising on different aspects of prayer, is worship in prayer. Okay? Not just the idea of worship, which is a different field all on its own, but the idea of worship in our prayers. So how do we come to God in prayer? We can come different ways at different times. Julie was talking last week about the different personalities. You'll miss this. She was talking about, are we an Eeyore character or are we a Tigger character? We even had to sing the Tigger song, so you really missed out. Our different personalities will shape the way so often we come to God. There are people who are just naturally full of bounce, and that is how they will pray. Others, more lugubrious, laid back, and they come with that sort of But God takes us as we are. And our personality will shape how we come to God initially. We can come to God at different times, difficult times. We could be downcast. We could be depressed. We could feel that we're being attacked. We could feel remote. We'll come, as I say, you know, anybody with times where God has done something, God has revealed himself afresh, and we come full of bounce and bubble. God seems so close we could touch him. Things are going great. Things are going wonderfully. But there are ordinary times as well, the everyday times, where we're neither up in the sky and we're not down in the valley, but it's just ordinary. We come to God in all sorts of different ways. We can come to God in the sort of Psalm 23, deep assurance. We just know that God is there working things out. And just before that, we can come to God in a Psalm 22, where we feel as if we're being ragged and tugged and pulled apart. But God is there waiting for us to come, no matter how we come. Psalm 100, that is bursting. It starts off, shout for joy to the Lord. This is not somebody who's coming to God who's feeling really down, low and depressed. This is somebody who's just absolutely bursting with praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues for all generations. You will come to God at times like that, where you just run out of words for saying how good God is. You feel sometimes as if people do when they're speaking in a foreign language, and they sort of know the word for good, and that's all they know. So everything's good, good, and it's good, 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 you know, and you're coming to God like that. You just sort of, oh, what do I say next? You know, I'm so happy. Whatever the circumstances, whatever our personality, it's the right time to praise and worship God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6-18 says this, rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote it, and Paul lived it, because we read in Acts 16:25, about it midnight after they had been beaten, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God in all circumstances. And if we can get to that step, we're doing well. That no matter what's happening, we've got a word of praise for God. Even as we sing, you know, blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, I'll still praise you. When I'm found in the barren times, I'll praise you. When I feel like you're a million miles away, I will praise you in every circumstances. Whatever is happening to me, I will give you praise. When we reach that step, we can feel like we've arrived. Unfortunately, that's not the top step. The next step is a lot harder, especially as I've turned over 2 pages. Fortunately, I recognised and didn't go to the end of the sermon straight away. You thought that was short this morning. Ephesians 5, 18-20. Do not get drunk or wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs with the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In everything and for everything. And that is where the theological rubber hits the road. Can we give thanks for all things? Naturally speaking, no. But as I say, that's where the theological rubber hits the road. What do we believe? Do we believe that God is in control? Do we believe that God is organizing circumstances on our behalf? Do we believe that he will let nothing overtake us except that which will benefit us, that which will ultimately bless us? Do we believe that? Because if we do, then we can surely give thanks for all things. We look at things with our perspective and say, that's bad, that's wrong, that shouldn't be happening. Why, God, are you allowing this? God often doesn't answer those sorts of prayers, but simply says, you are in my hands. If we believe fully, truly, and totally that our lives are in His hands, then whatever comes our way is for the best, because He's allowed it. He might not have generated it. It might have been aimed for wrong. As Mark's been looking through Joseph, the phrase that sticks in my mind in that whole story is when Joseph speaks to his brothers and says, what? What does he say? Yeah. The purpose can be harm. The purpose can be to finish us. The purpose can be to kill us, to wipe us out, to reduce us to rubble. But God is in control of everything. Our eyes will look at this and say, it is wrong. There is no benefit to this. You're doing me down. You are hurting me. There was one particular time when Stephen had had a sore throat. He was, 2.5, 3 years old. As a result of that sore throat, it was so bad he wouldn't eat. Well, anybody knows that if you continue with that, it's not going to work out well. And so I fed him some ice cream. And as he was taking this ice cream off the spoon, he turned to me and he said, you wicked, evil, cruel daddy. Because it hurt. And that, so often, is how we are with God. You cruel, wicked, evil God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Because it's for the best. From our perspective, it's wrong. From our perspective, it's evil. Well, the intent could well be evil, but God has allowed it to come into our lives, and He is in control, and He will use it to bless. While we are in God's will, and that's very important, if it comes our way, God has allowed it. And it's for the best. If we've gone our own way, then we can suffer consequences that God hasn't allowed for the best in one sense, but He can still redeem it. Even in the circumstances where we've gone miles away from Him, He can still redeem. That's who He is. He's the Redeemer. And even things that we've created, a really bad situation for ourselves, He can still turn to good. There are two themes to worshipping God. There could be more, maybe I'm just a bit slow, but these are the two that I see. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 145, we're not going to read all of it, just a few verses to get the flavour of it. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They tell of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. The rest follows on in similar vein. Maybe you want to look at that later. But they're essentially there, two different aspects that we see about worshipping God. Firstly, we see we can worship God simply because of who He is. His character, His attributes. What is He like? He's wonderful in all His ways. We celebrate a God who is greater than any other. We celebrate a God who is the King, my God, the King. Who is He? We celebrate Him for who He is. But also we celebrate Him for what He does. Because what He does comes from who He is. And just as He is great and good, the things He does are great and good. His goodness, verse 9 tells us, is abundant. is righteous, trustworthy in all he promises. As we read our scriptures, what does it tell us about God? We see it sometimes in the names that he declares. Look at those, remember them, meditate on them. It's true. When it tells us something about God, that he's great, that he's good, that he's loving, etc., hold that thought in your mind. Consider it, chew it over. He's good in everything he does. Everything he does is good. When he does something for me, it's good. What is God's character like? What are his characteristics? What are his attributes? Okay, we're now going to go for some audience participation. All right? That wasn't what I meant. I could see that coming, so I was ready for that. Okay? Some audience participation. Now, we can say, for example, God is love. What else can we say? He's great. Perfect. He's good. Yeah. Any more? Sorry?
Peace.
Peace. That's right. He is peace. Faithful. Eternal. Righteous.
Kind.
Exactly. Yeah. Enough, yeah? Okay, I've got a list here. You've covered some of them. Let's run through. God is love. He's wise. He's holy. He is just. He is sovereign, yet servant. He's faithful. He's righteous. He's true. He's compassionate. He knows all things. He's omniscient. He can do all things. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's eternal. He has no limits, yet he always works within his character. He's unchanging, he's merciful, he's long-suffering, he's good, he's gracious, he's perfect, self-sufficient, self-sustaining. The list goes on and on. Let's hold these truths. Let's remember that they are truths. And this applies to our God, whose hand is upon our lives. This is his character. This is what God is like. As you read the stories, what does it tell you about the way that God is? God does not change. He's still like that. Just as he was with whoever, so he will be with us. And we worship him accordingly. We see in Psalm 145 something of the things that God does. Verse 12 talks about his mighty acts. Verse 13 talks about him being trustworthy in all his promises. Verse 17 talks about him being faithful in his promises. It, according to verse 14, he upholds those who fall. Verse 16, he satisfies the desires of every living thing. 18, he is near to all who call on him. Verse 19, he hears their cry. Verse 20, the Lord watches over all who love him. These are the things that God does. These are the wonderful things that God does. These are the wonderful things that our wonderful God does. He uses different methods, and we use different methods to praise him. He ministers to us in different ways, and we bless him in different ways. Paul in Ephesians 5:19 talks about speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. We can sing as we worship in our times, on our own, when we're worshiping the Lord. A song that is spoken to us, we use it, we bring it again and say, Lord, you are great. In Colossians 3:16, Paul talks about the message of Christ dwelling in us richly. You know, as we contemplate God and worship him, it does something to us. It changes our perspective. Those dark situations that seem, God, why am I going through this, can be transformed because God ministers to us in that situation. We can use music in our times of prayer and worship. Perhaps a song has struck you. You got it on tape. That's an old word. You got it on CD or MP3. Yeah, and you play it again. And you worship along with it. Sometimes we sing because we're so heartbroken we can't do anything else. Does that seem strange? We do it because the song encapsulates what we're trying to say and takes us beyond ourselves. We use the gift of tongues when we run out of words, and we bless God in the language that He has given us, but we worship Him. Whatever, however, we need to worship Him and give Him praise. It needs to be part of our daily routine. It needs to be routine to worship God. Worshipping God isn't routine, it's part of the routine. The worship and praise bring us into His presence like nothing else. Praising God in the good and the bad times, it affirms our faith and strengthens our faith in Him. Praise and thanksgiving are powerful weapons because they break down the strongholds that the enemy would seek to put around us. It pierces the darkness. Praise and worship disarms the enemy. It's a deadly weapon. It conquers unbelief. Worship and praise are manifested in many different ways. We use it at different times in different ways, but we constantly must use it. Fight against the evil, to fight against oppression, to lift our God, who is above all others, to bless Him, to praise Him continually, because He is worthy. Amen.